My name is Patricia King, and I'm glad that you've joined us for today's program. We're going to talk about miracle provision, especially in regards to missions and in regards to the poor. And I believe that today the spirit of faith is going to enter you so that you can believe to pull down resource, pull down provision out of heaven to see dreams come true and to see provision released for missions and the poor. And today with us, we have Marcus Young from Divine Inheritance. And if anyone knows about miracle provision for caring for the poor, you do. And we just want to commend you on what you do with orphans and taking care of rescuing children from being child soldiers and ministering in different parts of the world. It's just awesome. So thank you so much. Marcus, today I want to share a little bit out of Job 29. Okay. It's one of my favorite chapters. I love it because
it's an awesome chapter.
Job actually did have about a year of his life only. Mm-hmm. It was a very difficult year. It was a challenging year when the enemy just went after him, one thing after another, tried to wipe him out with everything. Mm-hmm. But God preserved him, and his faith was proven during that time. But Job, for all of his life, was actually really blessed of God. In fact, he's the most blessed man in all the scriptures. And he describes what that blessing was like prior to that year of attack. He describes it. He says that there were days when God watched over him, when his lamp shone over his head, and by God's light he walked through darkness. He was in the prime of his days. Friendship of God was over his tent. The Almighty was with him. His children were around him. His steps were bathed in butter, and rock poured out for him with streams of oil. It talks about the seat that he had in the city with the influence that he had, and that when he spoke, everyone else remained quiet because there was so much authority and favor on the words that just dripped from his mouth. And then he says why he had all that blessing. Why he was the most blessed man on the face of the earth. And he said it was because he delivered the poor who cried for help, and the orphan who had no helper. And the blessing of the one ready to perish came upon him. And he made the widow's heart sing for joy. And he put on righteousness, and it clothed him. And justice was on him like a robe and a turban. And he was eyes to the blind, and he was feet to the lame. He was a father to the needy. And he investigated the case, which he did not know. And he broke the jaws of the wicked and snatched the prey from his teeth. So basically, he's saying that because he cared for the poor and the destitute, the widows and the orphans, because he cared for those who couldn't care for themselves, that God blessed him beyond measure.
It's
awesome.
It is amazing.
And it is so true. I find that some of the greatest portals of the miraculous open up for us out of our own experience when we've cared for the poor, when we've cared for the needy. And it's not like we're even looking for it, you know, but we just know that that's what it is.
Well, God's so clear that his eye is on the poor, and that he's near the poor and he's hidden in the poor. If you want to encounter Jesus, you know, you can do it on a revelatory level. Like, and that's how we would typically think about encountering Jesus, you know, or encountering him through his word and so on. But you also encounter him through the poor. That's actually one of the clearest ways that the scripture over and over again tells us to encounter God is through the poor.
I have learned so much, not only about God, but I've met with God through sitting with the poor. And sitting with the destitute and the bound, and you just listen to their heart. I think so often, Marcus, we as a church, we like to go and tell people how to do things right instead of doing what Jesus did. Jesus actually became us. He left his God part of him behind and became us, sat on the same pavement with us, slept in the same you know, type of sleeping quarters. In fact, it says sometimes he didn't even have a place to lay his head, and walked the same path as man to identify with us. And sometimes I think we just need to identify with the poor a little bit more.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the thing is, it's when God is hidden in the poor, all of the aspects of his character are hidden in the poor. And you know, we're looking at like the life of Job in this instance, where, you know, Job found, you know, favor. He found, you know, wisdom for government. He found, you know, blessing for finance. He found all sorts of things hidden in the poor. And, you know, for me, Jesus hidden in the poor is enough of a treasure. I'm not really concerned about all those other things.
Sure.
It's kind of like Solomon asking for wisdom, and then God says, well, because you asked for wisdom, I'll give you all these other things too.
Right.
So it's not necessarily our end goal, but just by the fact that you've positioned yourself on that level, all these other things get heaped in on you.
Yeah.
And so usually it's like I don't make a decision intentionally to say, well, because I need God's blessing on my finance,
right,
I'm now going to give to the poor.
Exactly.
It's more like because I find God in the poor,
right,
I'm going to sow my finance into the poor, because I'm more interested in just getting God, because that's where life is.
Right.
But out of that investment, God's like, well, I'll multiply it all these other directions.
Right. And you meet him in such a rich way when you sit with the poor. You know, I remember just recently we were over in Thailand, and there was a little girl. She was 14 years old, dying of AIDS. And she looked like around 8 years of age because she was so emaciated and that. And we sat and just held her in our arms. And, you know, the story of her life and what she'd gone through was such a tragedy. And she was dying in an AIDS hospice. But there was something about the measure of love we felt for her that could only come from God. The compassion that we felt for her was just like you're talking about. There's nothing nothing that compares with that. Just to have a moment of feeling that level of love, of feeling that level of compassion, is beyond anything that you could ever want in this life, because you have really touched. It says God is love.
Yeah.
And so when you can actually feel that level of love, it's like meeting God face to face.
I'm just thinking of James 1:27, which is a, you know, scripture that a lot of us would be familiar with. You know, true religion and undefiled before God and the Father, this to visit or care for the orphan and widow and to keep oneself unstained or untainted from the world. And it's really interesting in there, because you have, it talks about the orphan and the widow. And, you know, there's two revelations of God's love in natural order, or anthropological revelations of God's love, that are kind of like the highest revelations. And one of them is the Father heart of God. And the other one is the bridal paradigm, or, you know, Jesus' love for his bride. And you find those two revelations hidden right in James 1:27.
Wow, I never saw that
in
before.
The orphan and in the widow. Because the orphan is the one who had the father heart stolen from them, right? Because they've taken away that ability to encounter God through the parents. Because that's how we start to first understand God, is through our parents and through our mentors. And then the widow is the one who has lost her bridegroom. And so the enemy comes in and attacks those two things. And so all through scripture, you find the couplet, the widow and the orphan, the widow and the orphan, that God is so interested in, because he knows that's where the, you know, Satan has come in and stolen that revelation, those two highest revelations of God's love. And so James 1:27 is a nutshell about religion and how true religion works. And a lot of us will look at that and we're burdened by it, because we're like, oh, you know, I have to go out and I have to do my good works. God doesn't work that way. What he's doing is he's offering us the biggest blessings, which is what we were reading out of Job. He's not saying, listen, I want to give you another thing to do. He's saying, listen, I've hidden a treasure.
Wow.
I've hidden my life. I've hidden the greatest revelations of my love. See, the revelation of my love isn't just about the orphan. It's about you.
Yes.
It's about you out there. You touch the orphan and you touch the widow, and you get the revelation of God's love penetrating your heart as a father when you touch the orphan. And you get the revelation of Jesus' love for his people and his church when you touch the widow. God hid that revelation right in there. And so that's why he gives us those things to do. It's always so rich.
It is so rich. And it's like, I believe that is where there is miracle working provision. That is where it is, because there's something about the compassion of the Spirit. Like when you touch that place, like when you hold that child, or you hold a widow in your arms and you can feel the compassionate love of God, it actually compels you to do something about it. Like with the little girl I was giving you the example of, we just did whatever it took to make her comfortable. And we believed that she was going to be healed, and she is now healed, but in glory. We didn't see it manifest on this side of time, but we believed with all of our heart for her healing. But we also believe for practical things, like, for instance, she never knew what it was like to hold like a dollar, a teddy bear or something, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so we went out and bought her that. And she liked certain shoes. She always dreamt of having a certain shoe. So we went out and got her that because love compels you to do that.
Wonder what shoes she's wearing in heaven.
Yeah, and it's like, it's just this compelling love that says, well, whatever it takes, even though I don't have extra money right now myself, I'm going to find it. I'll sacrifice whatever it takes because that love compels and that love provides. Mm. And I remember when I was sitting down with you not that long ago and you were sharing with me just some things about the poor over in Asia and about children trapped in a lifestyle that they were so hurt. And I thought, we just need another orphanage. And it was the compassion for the poor and the suffering and the destitute and the abused, the compassion that came in that gave me the faith measure to believe for help for them. And that's then, like that, God came through. Yeah. It was miracle provision.
Yeah.
And he says, I will meet all of your need according to my riches and glory in Christ. And so there's this miraculous provisional place that once we connect in that place of compassion, or once we'll give attention to the cry of the destitute or the poor, then you kick in to that miracle provision place where then you can grab whatever is needed.
That's so good.
And it's... oh, it's partnership with God.
It's fun,
We'll be right back.
Rejoice in the miraculous stories of men, women, and children rescued from the horror of human trafficking. Their testimonies of redemption will touch and inspire you. Find out how they escaped in For Their Tears I Died. Receive a free copy of For Their Tears I Died after a minimum donation of $30. Call 866-980-5464. Television offer 235. Or visit xpmedia.com and sow a seed into XP Missions and a better future for victimized children. Become a Breaker Team partner today. Go online to xpmedia.com.
So Marcus, I know that you, I mean every missionary does, but you've made great sacrifice yourself to go and care for the poor. So obviously if you've, you know, left things behind and sown into the poor, God has taken care of your needs as well. So can you share with us your journey?
Sure. Well, I'll give you, I'll just give you a few snippets, but you know, we were actually living with James and Michael and Gall at the time, and I was in a room praying. I was actually in Michael Ann's office, and the Holy Spirit just landed really, really hard and on me, just powerfully landed on me and said one word, which was go. And I'm like, well, God, is this the big go or is this the little go? Because I'd been praying every day, God, can I go? Can I please go? I don't want to be here. Can I go? And so I'm like, is this the big go? And like an hour later, somebody called me from Asia and said, hey, you know, somebody was mentioning your name and I'm making this trip into a really restricted access country. And when I heard your name, they said, God never speaks to me like this, but he spoke to me and told me I had to call you. So I tracked your number down.
Wow.
And so it was just like that. And God just started opening up all these doors. Well, I was in the middle of building a little house out of an old 100-year-old barn, and my wife and I have been married a couple years, and I've been trying to do this debt-free, and I put, you know, hours and hours of my time into building this place, and we hadn't moved in yet because it was still not all the way finished, and so I had to get this house done really quick, and so there was provision just in trying to get this house done, and there was really amazing ways how God provided, one of them being we had this family that called from a different state. We were in a little town of 101 people, okay, way out in the middle of nowhere.
That's little.
Yeah. And these people called from Boulder, Colorado. They weren't even married yet, this couple to be, and said, God told us to buy your house. I said, you don't want to buy my house. You're not even married, you know, and you're going to be out in nowhere. Why would you want this house? And they said, no, God told us to buy it. They came out. They ended up signing the contract with me the day before we flew out to Asia.
Wow.
And so I sold the house, but it really kind of hurt.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, our dream house.
It was your
my
dream
wife
house.
Had always wanted to live in an old barn, and as you know, spent 3 years working on this place. And so, but we used that money to launch. And actually, right. when we got some money, because it took a couple years for some of the money to clear through from the house, but when we got it, I sewed that into buying land to build an orphanage.
Wow.
And so on. And you know, there's always just this little thing that eased over time in my heart where I was really glad to do it. But I just wanted to say it wasn't always easy.
Sure.
Sometimes you sew and it hurts.
Yeah.
You know, because it was something it was a labor of love.
Yeah.
I laid aside. And you know, so all these years then we built homes for kids and children at risk, and I loved it. I mean, I designed homes and I had a lot of fun doing it, but we never had our own place.
Yeah.
And then when God told us to resettle for a season back in the U.S., you know, we had no savings and we had, you know, just lived on very little. And so we went on this adventure of even qualifying to buy a house, and God gave us all these blessings. But what happened is we came to a juncture where God told us to buy this, you know, good-sized house. First, it was about 3,000 square foot, and then there was a cabin attached to it because we needed some office space because we were trying to do all these people
right.
in and out of our little tiny house, and it wasn't working. And so somebody had told me to go look at this house, and I argued with them. I said, I shouldn't go look at this house. It's way too big for me. And they're like, no, you should go look at it. It wasn't on the market yet. I'm like, no, I'm not interested. And they said one more time, no, you should see it. So I'm like, okay, well, God can do whatever he wants. So I went, walked in the house, and this thing just dropped in my spirit where I knew that God was telling us to buy this place. I'm like, I don't even like this place. I don't want to move. But I feel God saying this to me, so I'm walking through thinking, what do I do? So I call my wife, and you know, I say, hey, Alexis, you're going to have to come, you know, take a look at this house with me. She walks in, had the same reaction. I'm not interested, but I think God's telling us to. So I went to the guy, and I said, listen, I'm sorry, you know, to be a little strange here, but, you know, I do mission work, and God just tells me to do stuff, and he's telling me I'm supposed to buy your house. I don't have any money. Would you mind, you know, keeping your house off the market for a few more weeks and give me 2 weeks to come up with the money? And I needed a pretty significant chunk of $100,000 to be able to qualify to purchase this house. So I was like way out of my ballpark. And I'm like,
that's way out for a lot of people.
I was like, I had no idea how to do it. You know, so I'm like, okay, I know this feeling. I know because we've gone through these seasons. You know, there was a time when I picked up a Bible translation project. I needed $1,000 a month. I only had $1,000 a month coming in. So I needed a double increase. And so I picked up it in faith, and boom, the money came in. So, I mean, we walked in these increments of faith our whole life where when we said yes and we knew God was telling us to do something, the provision would come. And, you know, you step out and you're putting your money in on it and your energy, and it's scary and it's tough. And, you know, when we first went out, like, to the mission field, I didn't have a vehicle. You know, I walked everywhere I went. I didn't even have a bicycle.
Wow.
You know, and it wasn't like we had, you know, we went through a lot of difficult seasons of just a faith journey. All of our suitcases were filled with books because that's what we traveled out with. You know, but so I'm just saying our history was built on small acts of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So we came to this juncture. I'm still feeling stretched, but I called a few friends and said, hey, you know, can you pray with me? Well, I had a friend that I bumped into a few weeks later, and we were kind of down on the deadline, right? And she said, I have some inheritance money, but it's been tied up in court for 6 years. She said, I will give you the help, the money, okay, if it comes through. So I'm like, okay. So I sent it out to our intercessors list. Well, the next day she calls me up and says, the money came through.
And
there's
awesome.
Many, many more points to the story. Mm-hmm. I could tell you about how God did things and how he tested us.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just, you know, we actually, when she gave us the money, we had to actually give it back. God tested us in it to see if we were really willing to follow him through the process. And so there was, you know, the whole story wasn't just like, you just go do it. But we, you know, we live in that house now and we pinched ourselves for months. Because are we really here? Did you really do this, God? But what God came back and said is, you know, you sowed for 15 years into these kids and then these orphans and with your own house and he reminded me of our honeymoon house that we never lived in, and said, "You sowed these things in, and now,
you're reaping."
Yeah, and the thing is, we know we don't own that house. I'd be glad to walk away from it tomorrow because it's just God's and His kingdom, and I get to enjoy it right now. And we use we have tons of people staying in our house, and we use the cabin for office space. So I mean, it's well utilized. But I'm just saying those kinds of things, they don't automatically just boom. You know, maybe tomorrow I get, because I sowed today, I'll see the investment come back. But sometimes it's years down the road.
Yeah.
And maybe be even in heaven. It really doesn't matter.
I know that my husband and I, when we started out in ministry, we really got tested because we were invited by God to live by faith. No visible means of support, no salary. And so we weren't allowed to tell anyone our needs, and we weren't allowed to go to the government for help or anything. He said, "I just want you to walk with me." And it was a real stretch time, but we sowed and sowed and sowed and sowed according to the word of God, because that's kingdom economy. It's just the way the kingdom operates. Right. And so I want to do life kingdom way. That's just the way it is.
Once you've been in it for a long time, you just
I'm not
stay.
Waiting until I finish this life to live kingdom. I'm living it now, you know. But we sowed and believed all the promises concerning sowing, and we did it because it's what God was inviting us to do at that time, to lay our life down for kingdom advancement. We did it, but we also did it with an expectation to see the word prove faithful. But we didn't see any results for years, and we just kept sowing and sowing. I mean, we had nothing left to sow. We'd have to ask for the seed to sow because we ran out of seed to sow. So, and then we found that, wow, God even provides seed to the sower. And we had our own needs, but we were praying for seed to sow into other people's needs. And He would give us the seed to sow into other people's
and
needs.
Really,
and we were still believing for our
own.
So, but finally, it came. Like after many days, it says, after many days, it came. And then it comes on every wave. I mean, it was just like, wow. And now we're still reaping what we sowed years ago. We're still enjoying
You're still in the fruit of decades before. It's amazing how
But we live in the miracle realm now. Because when you have a need, it sets you up for a miracle. You know, if you don't have a need, that's boring life. To me, it's like pretty boring. Like we always say to our team, if you don't have a need, create one.
That's right.
You know, because then God will fill it, because He meets all the needs according to His riches and the glory. So if we want to see more glory of God, then we need to create needs, and that's why.
Another way to say that would be to place yourself in a position where you need faith.
Or look at the needs of others and see what is needed out there. If you have everything that you need, or even if you don't,
then have faith for other people.
Then have a faith that connects to that provision. And I know that, like right now, for example, we're believing for a building because we need to grow bigger as far as our media outreach, and we're just jammed. We're using every little piece of space we have,
which
but
I've
we need more.
Here,
you know, but and so we're putting our faith out, but we're also standing on what we sowed. We said, God, we've sown into the needs of the widows and the orphans, and you know, and the needs of others, and gladly have sacrificed for that. And now we're just going to believe that you're going to look after this need
too. It's a joyful place to be.
It's an awesome place to be.
Yeah. I love your position. I mean, I've just seen that through my life where, you know, if I will invest in the poor, like Job did, then the provision is there for whatever God wants
to
do.
And God so often will test us just before we're about to get a miracle breakthrough for maybe a need that we have. He'll say, but will you, instead of saving up for this, will you sow into that? And we just want to encourage you as you're watching today that if you want to live in the realm of the miraculous and get to know the heart of God, then connect with His heart for the poor, the orphans, the widow, and maybe move and shift your eyes off of your own need. Go to the needs of others. Reach into the glory and see that met. Sow into it with big faith and watch what God does on the other side. God bless you.
Rejoice in the miraculous stories of men, women, and children rescued from the horror of human trafficking. Their testimonies of redemption will touch and inspire you. Find out how they escaped in For Their Tears I Died. Receive a free copy of For Their Tears I Died after a minimum donation of $30. Call 866-980-5464, television offer 235, or visit xpmedia.com and sow a seed into XP Missions and a better future for victimized children.
I'm excited to share with you some of the things that are happening in Extreme Prophetic. The entire goal of our ministry is to catch the heartbeat of God and to join Him in what He's already doing. When you partner with us, you'll have an opportunity to join us in
rescuing young women, young men, and even children out of the brutality of the sex trade in Thailand.
We're witnessing the power of God and reaching out to our own city streets with teams of evangelists
and mentoring young women locally with the love of Christ in our restoration house. We're sending ministers
to speak around the world in local churches and prophetic conferences internationally, and even
spreading the gospel worldwide through the mediums of internet and television, with a vision to take back media for our Lord
and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pray about becoming a Breaker Team member today. For a gift of $30 a month or more, you can become part of our Breaker Team. Look at the number on your screen or go online at xpmedia.com and sign up today. When your heart is touched by the poor and for the poor, there's a part of God's heart that gets infused into you that is indescribable. It's like a knitting together, a joining together that is so very precious. And I want each and every one of you to experience that. And so I invite you to pray and ask God to impart to you His heart, His feelings, His emotion, His compassion. And then as that comes, ask Him what you can do to just go the next step into believing for a miracle, maybe praying for breakthrough for them, or praying the poor into a home, or praying for a widow's heart to sing for joy because of the presence of the Lord on her. And that's how you'll touch the heart of God. And that's how you'll be touched by the heart of God. And remember this in the process: God loves you with an everlasting love. He really does. We'll see you next time.